الله الرحمن الرحيم. آداب المعاشرة. Etiquettes of social life. The etiquettes of speech. Do not indulge in storytelling unnecessarily. Do not waste the time of a busy person by prolonging the conversation with small talk. Why does it say do not indulge in storytelling unnecessarily? Because often, and we will, if we think carefully, we will experience this ourselves, it starts with an innocent story and it ends up in riba. Maybe the first incident is no one's riba. Then from there, the second person relates an incident, it ends up in riba. So especially stories, incidents regarding other people, and especially regarding something wrong about them, a person should, unless there is a necessity, he should avoid them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to practice from that. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الطهور شطر الإيمان أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رواه مسلم رحمه الله رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi narrates this hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that purity is half of iman. Now this hadith is a very famous hadith. And it is a short hadith, and in it there is a virtue of purity. Now the first thing we must understand is that purity, cleanliness is of two types. One is cleanliness that you can call it worldly cleanliness. A person remains tidy. He looks clean. His clothes don't have any dirt on them. His house is tidy as well. His belongings are tidy, etc. This is worldly cleanliness. And this is also something encouraged by Sharia. This is something encouraged by Deen. And there are a number of ahadith regarding this. There is, for example, there is a hadith in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that don't leave the front of your house, in house time you can say the front garden, messy. Meaning, why? Because when someone comes to your house, that is the first thing they see. And first impressions matter, as we know. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. So look, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did encourage general cleanliness. But much more important than that is the cleanliness and the purity that is associated to deen, that affects our deeds, that affects our salah. A person has purity, that means he doesn't need a ghusl, he doesn't need a wudu, then his salah will be accepted. And conversely, if there is some deficiency in his purity, maybe Sharia impurity has been left on his body. He didn't check properly, maybe when he was relieving himself. Or wudu wasn't done correctly. So worst case scenario, his salah, his ibadah will be totally void. And if the deficiency is not so strong, then it may not be totally void, but it will be affected. Its value will be decreased. So in this hadith, we are talking about, you can say, shara'i purity and shara'i impurity. Now, what is the first meaning of this hadith? The ulama have said the first meaning of this hadith, purity is half of iman. So the most important part of purity, you can say, is wudu. That a person he performs wudu, and with that he makes his body necessarily clean, his clothes necessarily clean for salah. Now you and I, when we do wudu, then normally for us it is a case of we need to make wudu for salah. We need to make wudu for salah. We don't view wudu in the sense that it is an ibadah, it is a deed, it is something very valuable.
But the reality is, although wudu is necessary for salah, it in itself is very valuable as well. Many, many virtues have been mentioned regarding wudu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that when a person performs wudu, then whenever he washes a limb, the sins that are associated to that limb, they wash off. When a person performs wudu and at the beginning of wudu, he says, Bismillah walhamdulillah. Very short dua, Bismillah walhamdulillah. Then after he has completed that wudu, as long as he remains in the state of wudu, the angels that are with him are busy. They're busy writing reward. If that wudu lasts for 3 hours, for the 3 hours reward is continuously written. If that wudu lasts for 5 hours that reward is continuously written. So although we view wudu as something necessary for salah, it in itself is something very valuable as well. The ulama have written that when a person is in the state of wudu, then that is an additional barrier against the efforts of shaitan. When he is in the state of wudu, it is not so easy for shaitan to put whispers in his heart. And that is why they encourage that for a person who can do so, the longer he stays in the state of wudu, the better. And if he can make it his practice, that as far as possible, always stay in wudu, whether there is a salah around the corner or not, then that is even better. So wudu is something very valuable. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is saying that wudu, purity, this form of purity is half of iman. What does that mean? Now, iman is a huge good deed, no doubt. Everyone understands that. No one needs to, although these discussions happen time and time again, if there is one deed which a Muslim understands the value of, it is iman. He understands that it is my ticket to Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, telling us the importance of wudu, that if wudu done correctly, you can give it that it has half the value of iman. It has half the value of iman. But like we said, wudu has half the value of iman. That means it brings a huge amount of reward for a person. But that will depend on how you do your wudu. That will depend on how you do your wudu. Every person's wudu is not the same. When it comes to wudu, there are four different levels. There are four different levels of wudu. The first and the worst level is that level of purity. With wudu, we are talking about everything, making sure your clothes are clean for salah, your body doesn't have any impurity. That level of wudu, which is so low that the salah performed after it is not even accepted. The salah after it is not even accepted. This is the worst level of wudu. Regarding this level, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warns that a person whose wudu and whose cleanliness is of this level, because that will affect the acceptance of his salah, for this he will be taken to task and he will be punished in the grave. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was going somewhere. He was going somewhere and he was on his camel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given animals the ability to hear certain things which are kept hidden from us. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that when a person's funeral is lifted, his janazah salah has been performed, his funeral is lifted and it has been taken towards the graveyard. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says there are two types of people. One is that person who knows that Jannah is waiting for me. So what is the condition of that person? The condition of that person is that as he is being taken to the graveyard, he is repeatedly saying that, take me quicker, be quick. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that voice of his, it comes out and he is shouting, take me quicker, take me quicker. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the veil on the ears of humans and jinns, so they cannot hear this voice. Other than that, every single makhluk of Allah ta'ala can hear that voice of his. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is a second type of person who knows that there is nothing but punishment waiting for him. So when he is moving, when his janazah has been lifted, janazah salah is performed, now it is being taken towards the graveyard, then he shouting, "Where are you taking me? Where are you taking me?" And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said again, that voice of his, it is loud, he is shouting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a veil on the ears of humans and of jinn, so they can't hear it. But every other makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can hear it. All the animals can hear it as well. So there are some things which a veil has been placed on our ears, but those sounds are there. And other creation, the animals can hear them. So one of them is the sound of the person being punished in the grave. It can be heard by animals. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going, and suddenly the camel rears up. It starts behaving strangely. It becomes frightened. Sahaba radiallahu anhu are confused as well. After they pass by, they quickly get the camel moving away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he explains, and he says that there are actually two graves here. It is in our time where there is a system that everyone is buried in one place, and you know, and signs are put up that this grave belongs to so-and-so, that grave belongs to so-and-so. Otherwise, in the past, especially when people were scattered, so this group of people, their graves, people are buried here. Sometimes this person, when a person in his family dies, then there is a patch of land behind his house, he will bury his deceased there. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this place we passed by, there are two graves here. And these two people are being punished in the graves. And that is the sound that the camel heard, which is why it became frightened. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Allah ta'ala revealed it to him. He said that these two people, they are being punished for something which on the face of it wasn't serious. It didn't seem like a big deal to them. But in reality, it was something serious. He said, it is something which didn't seem very serious. It didn't seem very serious to them. They took it lightly, but in reality it was very serious. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained. And he said, one of them, Yamshi bin Namima, he had a habit of tail bearing. Taking incidents about that person over there, with the intention of causing ill feeling between people, spreading ill feeling. That was one person. And the other person, he was not careful in regards to staying away from the drops of urine. So because he was not careful in this regard, his salah became invalid. So his salah is becoming invalid, so he's been punished in the grave. So that is the first level of wudu, which is the worst. The first level of purity. And that we must avoid. The second level of purity is that a person, he does enough that his salah is accepted. He does enough that his salah is accepted. But it's not according to a sunnah method. Whenever he says for wudu, as quick as possible, the four farz are done. Other aspects of purity as well, he does just enough. Now, his salah will be accepted here. But the ulama have written that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire life, other than rare occasions, he performed wudu keeping in mind the sunnats of wudu. So if a person makes it his habit to perform wudu without the sunnats, then his salah will be done, but he will be asked about this on the Day of Judgment. Just like a person, before the Dhuhr Salah, the four rakats, which are sunnah mu'akkara, he ignores them totally, he never performs them, he will be asked about it. So yes, one is that you are making wudu at work, you're making wudu, you're on a journey, you're making wudu and there is only a limited amount of water. It's not an ideal place to make wudu, or maybe time is short. And you perform a quick wudu, four farz, nothing else. Jinn says that is understandable. But a person makes it a habit, like sometimes unfortunately, we learnt in Maktab that the ustads for our benefit, they emphasize to us that these are the four farz, you must do them. So they were trying to tell us that. But we also took another message, which is don't do anything else. That is not the message they were trying to give us. They were trying to give us that this student of mine, you know, at least if he becomes careless in deen, then at the very least he holds on to the forefront. But we took the other message, that means sunnahs can be shoved into the drawer. So if a person makes his habit all the time, even when he's performed, then the ulama said he will be questioned. That is the second level of wudu. That is again inadequate. And your level of wudu affects your salah as well. Remember this. In fact, your level of wudu doesn't only affect your salah, it affects my salah as well. It affects my salah as well. What does that mean? There are some actions that they affect not only you, they affect everyone connected to you. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing salah, and in salah, whilst reciting the Quran, he got stuck. He got stuck somewhere. And then afterwards, he corrected himself, he carried on. After salah, he turned around and he said to the people, that what is wrong with you people that some of you don't perform wudu properly? Because of your not performing wudu properly, that is affecting my salah as well. So it doesn't, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his iman, his amal was the strongest. But some people, and the sahaba radiallahu anhu, their deficiencies in their wudu can't have been anything serious. But despite that, it had an effect on the salah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can imagine how much effect it must have had on their own salah. One is the effect on someone else. You eat something foul smelling, and then someone comes near you. One is the smell they take away. You yourself will feel a much stronger smell, of course. So if that was the effect on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you can imagine how much the effect was on themselves. And if that was the effect on the sahaba radiallahu anhu, then there is no doubt that our deficiencies in our wudu will also affect our salah. If we want our salah to have quality, sometimes you say as well that, you know, I struggle to concentrate in my salah. So there are many reasons for it. But one reason is not doing wudu properly. Like I said, you are in a forced situation, that is a different issue. But ordinarily, a person should make a habit of performing wudu calmly. So those were the first two levels of wudu. And we said there are four, rather there are three levels of wudu. The third level of wudu is that one performs wudu with all its sunnah, all its adab. A perfect wudu, you can say. He doesn't waste water, he's careful with water as well. This wudu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying about it, that you get so much reward for it, that it is as if you're getting half the reward of iman. And it is regarding this wudu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, that when a person performs a wudu like this, then after he finishes wudu, he recites two things. The first thing he recites is the second kalima. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Second kalima. And the second thing he recites is the following dua. Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. That, oh Allah, make me from those who repent to you frequently when we do something wrong, and make us from those who stay away from sin. So he does a perfect wudu. He recites ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. Then he recites Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. Not a large amount of effort, is it? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, for this person all 8 doors of Jannah are open. And on the day of judgment he will get a choice. On the day of judgment there won't be many people who get a choice of which door to Jannah to enter from. Most people, depending on their lifestyle, their amal, they will have, okay, you paid a lot of attention to salah. So the door of salah is open for you. You did everything, but you paid a lot of attention to fasting. It was there in your life, in leaps and bounds, in nafal as well, fard. So the door of fasting is open for you. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the person who performs his wudu correctly, and this is his lifelong habit, and he reads these two du'as, on the day of judgment, all 8 doors of Jannah are open for him, and he will be able to enter from whichever one he wishes. So let us work on our wudu. And on a side note, let us also work in general on the quality of a'mal as well as the quantity. Quantity is also important. And in something farz, there is no leeway in quantity. 5 times salah, which is farz, you must perform it. But beyond what is farz, we sit to recite the Quran, we sit for tasbihat. So yes, do have a quantity fixed. Because if you don't have a quantity fixed, shaitan will make you feel lazy. You have a quantity fixed that every day, I must, and there are 2 ways to fix a quantity. One way is you fix how much you are going to do, and the other way is you fix how long you are going to do it for. One way is that every day I will recite the Quran for 20 minutes. Every day I will sit with the tasbih and recite the first kalima for 5 minutes. That is one method. Another method, every day I will recite half a juz of the Quran. Every day I will recite, I will say, La ilaha illallah 100 times. And like I said, fix an amount. If you don't fix an amount, then shaitan will fix your amount for you. And some many a time it will be zero. So do fix an amount. But this, you have become regular on the amount. Now worry about the quality as well. Worry about the quality as well. I've been reciting the Quran regularly, alhamdulillah, for 2 years now. Now think, how do I bring quality inside? Is my tajweed to the required level? No, then let me find someone who can teach me tajweed. Tajweed is there, alhamdulillah. What else can I focus on? Let me ask the ulama. What are the etiquettes of recitation of the Quran? An action with quality can become so valuable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these virtues we hear in the hadith of actions, they are of those actions that are done with quality in mind. Salah is performed with quality. Wudu is performed with quality. That is something that it is a totally different thing to that salah, that wudu which is performed without quality. That salah which is performed without quality, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the angels, they don't even allow it to go up and get tested and get examined in the court of Allah Ta'ala. They already know it is not worthy of it, so they throw it back on the person's face like a rag. That is that salah. And the salah that is with quality, all of the virtues, uncountable virtues of salah, both in this world and the hereafter, he gains for all of that. What a difference quality makes. Same amal, and let me also add this, same amount of time as well, maybe a couple of minutes more. I perform my 4 sunnahs before dhuhr with quality, without quality, there won't be a large amount of difference in terms of time, maybe 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. But in terms of value in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, look at the difference. So, the ulama have also mentioned another explanation for this hadith. Maybe we'll do that another time. But let us take these two lessons. The first is, let us make sure our wudu and our purity in general is with quality. And like I said, for that we need to plan in advance. Unfortunately, if we keep the jamaat time in mind, keep the adhan time in mind. And I know adhan doesn't happen always at the same time in our masjid, but you generally have 10 to 15 minutes in mind. Keep that in mind. Plan, you know, how ordinarily, I'm here on the weekend. And I'm addressing myself as well, sometimes we become victim of this. So we just try to squeeze salah in our day. No. Plan it. Salah is at 5 o'clock. So if I start performing, if I start getting ready for salah at 4:30, at 4:40, then I can reach in the masjid calmly. I will have time to pray my sunnahs as well before salah. You make that a habit, then see if you can concentrate in your salah or not. Hazrat Jimala Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that the best salah is intizar wali salah. Intizar wali namaz. What does intizar wali namaz mean? That salah where you come to the masjid at such a time that you perform your sunnats, and after that you are sitting there for a few moments as well. Maybe 1 minute, maybe 2 minutes. He said that is the best salah. So let us make a habit of bringing quality into our amal as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. On two final notes. The first is that the month of Ramadan is around the corner. So let us also work on increasing our amal from now, which will make the month of Ramadan easy for us. And the second, which we all know, is that alhamdulillah, through the fadl of Allah, now the donations which were given towards Palestine, now many charities are able to access those and send those donations across. So let us, we all know the condition, we have seen the pictures, that there is nothing left. So at the beginning, we were giving a lot of donations, and because then it was understood that donations are not getting through, so we slowed down a bit. So let us once more renew our donations to them. We don't need to wait for the month of Ramadan. Who knows if we will survive until the month of Ramadan. I have £1,000 in my pocket, in my bank account, which is ready to give. I'm thinking that I will give it in the month of Ramadan. You don't know if you live to the month of Ramadan. Give it now. And Allah Ta'ala, if He gives you more in Ramadan, then you can give it in Ramadan as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا